Praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, you do that in heaven and there's a whole shouting match up there, hallelujah. People just get unhinged. Angels get unhinged. Do you know the Bible tells us that there's literally angels that circle the throne of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for eternity. And all they do is say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's just as they circle the throne of God, because they see another aspect of God. They see another part of Him that they never saw. And it's just so awe-inspiring. Amen? Well, we want God, that same God here, don't we? We don't want to have the God of religion. And what I mean by a God of religion, you know, we can get religious about stuff real quick. You know, I was saying to my son one night, and I'll see if I can repeat this, but I said, you know, when a thing becomes a thing, when a thing becomes a thing, when people make a thing, it becomes the thing. And what I mean by that is whenever people make something a thing, then all of a sudden that's the new thing that they're all wrapped up in. You know what I mean? People can do it out of anything. It can be over politics. You know, we see that in the election season. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about politics. You know, when it's Super Bowl season, everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. Maybe not me, but you know, everybody's out there and it becomes a thing. You know what I mean? And everybody gets so focused on it. Well, that's kind of the way religion is too. You know, God always intended man to have a heart towards Him and to have a relationship with Him. But then this religiousness sets in and people kind of get stale in it. You know what I mean? They forget that we have a living God, that we serve a living God. We don't serve a God who's dead. We don't serve a God who's on the cross anymore. We serve a God who's on the throne, hallelujah. He's a living God and this is a living word that He gave us and He wants us to be changed, praise the Lord. And aren't you glad for it, hallelujah. Well, close up and go home right there, praise God, and say that we just got a real good Easter message, because that's exactly what Christ wanted for us. But you know what? I got some talking left to do, praise the Lord. So we're not going to close up quite yet, amen? Tonight's message is called Trust in Him. And I kind of subtitled that the true message of Easter. Trust in Him. You know, God did an amazing thing by sending Jesus to the earth. And Jesus did an amazing thing by living on the earth pure, without sin. Yeah, I've even heard some religious people say that, you know, even God sinned. No, God didn't sin. Jesus never failed. He never sinned. You know, Jesus, when He went to the cross, you know, they jeered at Him and made fun of Him because He was hanging on the cross. But He even told us that no man takes his life. He lays it down willingly. Amen. Amen. But Jesus lived in perfection. He lived perfect to show us how we are supposed to live, amen, what God wants for us. But then He paid the price so we could walk into some things, amen. Jesus didn't just, Jesus' job wasn't done when He went to the cross, hallelujah. In fact, you know, I've heard someone say it before, and I agree with it, I believe it. But a better symbol of Christianity is not the cross, but would be the throne. Because the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, hallelujah. That means, we know that He beat the grave and He went to heaven, hallelujah. And He sat at the right hand of the Father, praise the Lord. And He makes intercession for us. That means He speaks to God about us, amen, and for us on behalf of us. And that's a pretty exciting thing. But, you know, a lot of people understand the concept or have heard trusting in God, but they don't really understand what that really means. And they haven't put it into true biblical context. And today we're going to talk about that some. You know, last week, it's interesting, last week we talked about living a life of faith and living according to faith, amen? And faith is what pleases God. Faith is the most important thing. Trusting God is nothing more than faith. Faith is nothing more than trusting God. Amen? Faith in God is what I'm talking about. Faith is trusting God. That's simply what it is. And so this is kind of a continuation from where we were last week. Amen? Praise the Lord. Trusting God is not just saying, I trust in you, God. A lot of people think that just words, they give lip service. You know, we hear people all the time give lip service on different things, but we know that, according to the word, that trusting God isn't just saying that you trust God. It is not arbitrarily saying that God is good. I'm not against saying God is good. I'm not, you know, we got the, you know, the Christian movies that come out and like God is good, right? There's a that's what it's called, right? No, it's called God's Not Dead. Amen. And they talk about God is good all the time, God is good. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have to understand what that means. God isn't putting babies in the grave. God isn't killing grandmas. God isn't pouring out sickness and disease. God isn't hoping to see you wiped out. God isn't trying to make you lose. Glory to God. That is not God being good. Amen. And if that's what good is, then we have a mixed up definition of good and bad. Amen. Because we've been saying stuff like that is always bad. If anyone in the world does it, we throw them in jail, or sometimes they send them to death. Praise the Lord for doing things that are bad that they accuse God of doing all the time. And then we say God is good. And what are we talking about here? Amen. It's not arbitrarily saying God is good. You know, my wife and I, my daughter, last night we went and saw a movie, and I was really excited about it, actually. I was really stirred up. I'm going to talk a little bit about this, praise the Lord. I didn't necessarily plan on it, but I'm going to. And I'm not coming down on the movie. You only understand, I'm not against anybody. I'm not trying to say that people are bad or Christians are bad or these Christians are bad and we got it right and they don't. I'm not saying stuff like that. But I'm just saying that it is important to know the truth, amen? So the movie we decided to go watch it's called The Apostle Paul. And I think, or Paul the Apostle, right? I get everything wrong today. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God, we'll get it right by the end. I believe it. But it was Paul the Apostle. Did I get it right that time? Apostle of Jesus, something like that. It's about Paul. Anybody know who Paul is? Praise the Lord. He wrote 13 out of 27 books of the New Testament, or 14 out of the 20. See, praise God. Good thing I brought her along tonight, or we wouldn't even know where we're at tonight. Praise the Lord. But he wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Glory to God. That's pretty exciting. That's a pretty good record, amen? God saw fit to use him for 14 out of the 66 books of the Bible. That's better than anybody else. Praise the Lord. So there's obviously something about Paul. Paul is unarguably the best Christian that ever lived, the greatest Christian that ever lived. He taught us everything that we are to know about faith, everything. I mean, even he took the words of Jesus and what we see in the Gospels, and he magnified it in all the books of the churches, and he talked about what faith really is. Paul, if you could say this, the Lord used Paul to deliver faith to us. Amen. That's pretty exciting. How would you like to be used to deliver something right from heaven to a group of people? Well, praise the Lord. It changed the world, the writings of Paul. But why do I bring this up? Because these Christian movies, a lot of times, Christian songs, Christian movies, a lot of times they're not, there's a good intent behind them, but they got too much religion in them and not enough word. See, I want the word, and no matter what the Bible or what people say, I want what the word says. Because that's what changes life. It's not what people say, it's what the word says, amen? And so anyways, this apostle who wrote 14 books out of the 27 books of the New Testament, 14 letters to the churches and helped us and changed our lives and give us all the direction for the church that we have today. This man traveled like 10,000 miles, something like that, or on foot. Praise the Lord. He spent 3.5 years learning from Jesus himself. Glory to God. This man was beaten. He was shipwrecked and he rose above every single time. He was in prison with Silas and was singing psalms to God. And praise the Lord, the chains fell off of him. Praise the Lord. When he walked by people, his shadow would cross somebody and all of a sudden they'd jump up healed. Praise the Lord. This was the apostle that we're talking about here. Yeah. And you know what they focus on? They focus on a prison sentence that he had just before he died. He was dead. And the whole premise of the whole movie was Paul like kind of doubting everything and not really knowing what to do and not really sure if God was going to come through or not. Yeah. Listen, we don't see that Paul in Scripture. No. That's not scriptural. It could have happened, but it's not Scripture. Right. And that kind of stuff bothers me because you know something? They took every religious way of thinking about the Apostle Paul and they packed it into a movie. I wanted to walk out. I was disappointed because you know something? When you got faith in you, when you have faith built in you, when you see a lack of faith, it's sour to the taste. It's not good in your mouth. You don't want to be around it because a lack of faith, there's nothing more disgusting than that. I'm going to tell you, and there's nothing more disgusting in the eyes of the Lord. God is a God of faith. Amen. By faith, the world was created. By faith, everything you see was created. Not by doubting, not by lack. And why do I say all this? Because this is exactly, and I didn't write this message as a way of coming down on this movie or any other movies. I wrote this message because the Lord directed me to continue the message of faith. This is why Jesus came and died, was to give us something that we didn't have, and that's the ability to believe God for things that we couldn't ever get into, including heaven. Heaven first, praise the Lord, but the rest of our lives are included in that. And aren't you glad? Jesus died for a purpose, and that purpose was our victory. Glory to God. I said it was our victory. I'm going to tell you something. Praise the Lord. This is a new church. You got to be careful. I don't want to chase everyone out. But I'm going to tell you right now. When I talk about the victory of God that Jesus paid for on the cross, that should stir somebody to be excited. Praise the Lord. That should stir somebody to say, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus himself, he called himself the amen. In Revelation, he calls himself the amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Spoken. Hallelujah. It's faith. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. I'm stirred already and I haven't even started. Turn with me to John 14. John 14. We're going to go right to verse 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's got the... Like I said, I'm not talking bad. I mean, those people that wrote that movie, I know. I'm sure they have great hearts towards God. But listen, you can have a great heart and stinking thinking. Yeah, absolutely. You can have a great heart and not know a thing of what to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I meet people like that all the time. Yeah. I as a pastor, one of my jobs is to get stinking thinking out of people. Yeah. It's to cleanse the minds of people who are tainted by the world. Yeah. Listen, too much of the world has gotten into the church, and we need to not accept that garbage. Yeah. The world is not, I mean, church isn't supposed to look like a nightclub. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because there's nothing good that happens in a nightclub. Right. God didn't make church to the power of God to show up in smoke machines and laser lights. Praise the Lord. That's not God's intent. God, when God shows up, there'll be real smoke and there'll be real lights. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How do I know? What the Bible tells me so. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, they focus on just the last few minutes of his life. They could have focused on all this wonderful stuff. I mean, if you're going to write a book or a movie about the greatest Christian that ever lived. Praise the Lord. Why would you pick like, even if there was doubt, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? When you focus, I mean, even at funerals, it could be the worst person in the world laying in that coffin, and everybody talks about how good of a person they were. Everybody does. It doesn't matter what they did. Oh, God took them into heaven. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what I'm saying? Glory to God. But that's not the case. I've been at funerals before. I'm like, that person wasn't good. They were rotten. They were nasty. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only one who's ever thought that. Praise the Lord. You know when somebody was they were just cantankerous and they were always just foul and nasty and they were mean to everybody that ever came around. They kicked puppies when they saw them. That person isn't good laying there. Hallelujah. But see, why wouldn't we at least do that when we got the truth? The Apostle Paul, yeah. Talking about how weak in faith he was and, oh, praise God. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. I could go on so many rants. I'm not going to. John 14, 1. We need to get in Scripture here. We need to get in Scripture because we want to be balanced out, right? Praise the Lord. If we don't see in Scripture, I turned to John 1. I was going to look at 14, but that's not going to get me where I need to go. John 14, 1. This is words of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Praise the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a command. That's a direction. Jesus would not have told us to let not our heart be troubled if it weren't possible to let not our heart be troubled. If we couldn't, you know what it means to have your heart troubled. You know, when you're bent out of shape, when you just don't know what you're going to do, when you're just bothered, you're just like, oh, what am I going to do? Your heart gets troubled, right? Your heart sinks. You hear bad news, your heart sinks. You ever heard that phrase? Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. If Jesus said it, then there has to be a way to get to it. Amen. If Jesus commanded it, Jesus wouldn't tell you, jump 50 feet in the air. Right. Why? Because you can't jump 50 feet in the air. Now, if Jesus told you to jump 50 feet in the air, he's going to give you a boost. I believe that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's how Peter walked on water, right? Could Peter normally walk on water? No. Does anyone believe Peter walked on water? Yeah. Why do we believe Peter walked on water? Because the Bible says so. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Can you naturally walk on water? Have you ever seen anybody be able to walk on water? Have you ever seen somebody start to walk on water? No, you get in the water without anything underneath you, and you're going to go down pretty quick, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's our God, amen? Let not your heart be troubled. If Peter had said, or if Jesus had said to Peter, come on, Peter, come out into the water, and Peter said, just refused to do it, would he have ever walked on the water? No. So if Jesus says to you, he says, let not your heart be troubled, and you don't do the things to let your heart not be troubled, is your heart going to be troubled? Yeah. Absolutely. Amen? It's real simple. Let not your heart be troubled. How do we let not our heart be troubled? Well, one, we do what God says to do. We stay in the Word. We stay in church. We stay hearing the Word. We stay focused on the Word. We stay seeking God in prayer and stuff like that. That's how you let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to tell you what. I haven't got to the place of perfecting this yet, but I'm a lot better than I was 10 years ago. Amen. A lot better than I was. I was telling my wife, you know, yesterday we were talking about what a good life we live. Praise God. And the only thing that's changed is our faithfulness to God. I haven't suddenly got some new job that's paying me a whole bunch of money, that's sending me places. No, praise the Lord. We've just served God, we followed God, and there's more peace, there's more joy, there's more stuff, there's just more life. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That word believe, can you believe what this means? Hallelujah. Can you get this? It means be persuaded of, place confidence in, to trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. To trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. It also means saving faith. If you trust, it means place confidence in. If you're confident in something, in someone, praise the Lord. If you're confident in them, you know that the outcome is going to be. Amen? If you were a betting person and you went to the racetrack and you were going to bet on a horse, would you bet on something, on the least confident, the one you had the least confidence in? No, what would you do? You'd bet on the one you had the most confidence in, right? I'm not saying go bet, like it's not a good thing. Don't do that. But I'm just saying, you know, as an illustration, we don't put all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak. We don't go after, praise the Lord. That's a little Easter. That's the Easter message. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Amen. praise God, glory. Don't put all your bunny eggs in one basket. I don't know. I'm 44, almost 42 years old. I still have never seen a bunny lay an egg. Amen. Let alone a chocolate egg. I would love to. We have a bunny. That bunny doesn't lay no chocolate eggs. But I'm going to tell you something. If that bunny would lay chocolate eggs, well, they look chocolatey, but and they're not really eggs. more like pellets or something. They're more like raisinettes. Hallelujah. But don't eat them. Don't try them. She would have a better place in her house. I can just tell you that much. Amen. Praise the Lord. She'd have a nicer home if she was laying chocolate eggs, but she doesn't. You believe in God, believe also in me. Be persuaded of, have confidence, place confidence in. We got to learn to place our confidence. Confidence is not something that's shaken. You know, confidence is not something, you know, you're not confident in something. If you've ever seen those pictures in like China and they had those bridges, I remember in like Indiana Jones, they had like the bridges and stuff. Some of those action movies have like the little rope bridge or something that goes out over a vast expanse. Amen. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's in China. They have the little glass bridge thing or whatever that goes along the side of the mountain and stuff like that. You ain't going to get me on that. Amen. You know what I mean? Because I don't have a lot of confidence in that. On the other hand, we went up into the CN Tower in Toronto, and they have a glass observation deck. And I thought, you know what? There's been a lot of people on this, and they haven't fallen through yet, so it's probably okay. I had more confidence in that. Amen? You know, when I get on a roof, I'm not very confident in my ability to stay on the roof. And so I generally try to stay off of roofs just for that reason. Amen? It's all about confidence. You know, and the same thing is with God. If you don't have confidence in God, then you aren't going to go. You aren't going to put your trust. You're not going to rely on him. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're not going to lean on him when it's time. Not truly lean on him. See, God wants us to have so much confidence in him that when there's trials in life, that we just kick back. This is another reason why this movie kind of bothers me, this idea of this kind of Christianity. Because Paul knew his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the confidence he had, and he relied on Jesus for everything. He relied on the Lord for his strength. He relied on the Lord for all the things. He knew that God would deliver him. How do we know that? Because he wrote it over and over again. He knew that God would deliver him. I said he knew that God would deliver him. He knew. He was convinced of it. He had complete confidence in God. And that's what we're supposed to have. See, what happens is the devil has gotten into the church a little bit. Yeah, he's gotten in. He came in when the church started letting the world into the church. You know, the devil came in along with it. And the devil, the Bible says the devil masquerades as an angel of light. He can look good. You don't just say, you know, everybody's got this idea. The devil's red, got, you know, little pointy horns and pointy tail and a pitchfork. You know, that's not the devil. The devil doesn't look like that. The Bible says that he can appear as an angel of light. So he can confuse people that aren't grounded in the Word. And the same thing, Christians are confused if they're not grounded in the Word. They can believe. Like, listen, like one of the things they believe, and this is something that people play off a lot, but they believe that Paul has some kind of sickness in his eyes. Now, let me ask you something. Doesn't make sense to me. A man who's, they said they would take his handkerchiefs, right, or a piece of cloth that touched his body, and they would lay it on somebody sick. The Bible tells us this. That they would lay it on someone who's sick, and that would cause them to become healed. Now, a man who had that kind of anointing in his body, that kind of power flowing out of his body, do you think that he would have sickness and disease himself? It doesn't make any sense, does it? In fact, you know, I started realizing something. You know, there's a lot of testimonies in the Bible, isn't there? There's a lot of testimonies in the gospel of the things that Jesus did. But you know what we never see Jesus doing? We never see Jesus healing his disciples, the ones who were right with him every day. Do we? We never see that. Don't you think if you were going to give an account, don't you give the firsthand account, if you're going to give a testimony of something, don't you give a testimony from right the closest home? I mean, what do I, if I get up and I give my testimony, I'm not giving Joe Bob's testimony down the street. I'm talking about what the Lord did for me. Well, if you would think that with all these healings, all these stories, now I know he raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus didn't travel around with Jesus. You know, but his disciples did. We just don't see it. In fact, we see Jesus sending his disciples out and healing people, don't we? Praise the Lord. They must have walked in some kind of knowledge that the church has got to get back to. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're excited about that, but it's the truth. It's just the Bible. I mean, let's look at the Bible and dissect it and get into it, get to the meat of it and say, what is it really telling us here? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's confidence in God. Confidence in God says that he will do what he says he will do. He is who he says he is. He will always come through because he says, I have never left you nor forsaken you. He's never forsaken us. Listen, if my child was in the hospital, sick, and about to die, where would I be? Right there next to him. Why? Because I'm a good parent. If Jesus, how many people think that they go to the hospital and die, or get sick and die, and they believe that Jesus never left them or forsook them? You understand? See, we have to understand that there's a process of things, and the church has gotten so far away from God's teaching on healing and what it's supposed to be, and God's desire for our lives. They've gotten so far away from it that we haven't even been able to walk in it like they did. But God hasn't. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that His desire for that has ended. There's nowhere in the Bible where you'll never find it where the Bible talks about all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy, dear Jesus. Paul wrote all about the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. Paul wrote all about, he taught us all about that stuff. But some churches say that's passed away. Okay, show me in the Bible. Jesus said that you'll have this forever. Jesus told us that. The Bible tells us that we would have these things forever. The same things. The works that he did. We take part of the Great Commission and we hold on to it. And part of it we just throw away. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Believe. Be persuaded of. Be confidence in. Or place confidence in. Do you put your confidence in Jesus? Praise the Lord. And we're going to look in a verse here. It's John 16:33. You go ahead and turn there. But I'm going to read it in the... It's just like another page away. But I'm going to actually read it in the Amplified. And some of you may not know what the Amplified is, so I'm going to explain it to you a little bit. What the Amplified does, it takes a Greek or the Hebrew word, and it amplifies it to give you a better understanding of what is being said. So the Amplified is not a heretical book. It's not like a version that's weird. It takes the original word in the Greek or Hebrew, and it expounds on it so we can understand the intent. Because different words are used in different ways. You know what I'm saying? You can take the word live, for example, in the English language. It also can be the word live, right? Well, if you just look at it at a glance, you won't understand what the context is. Right? If I wrote the word live down and I want you to have the word live and you read it as live, you're going to take it as live. But see, this is part of interpreting the Bible. This is what we have to understand. The Amplified just takes that word and it magnifies it. It shows you what was intended by the usage of that word. And it's the understanding of the language. See, we don't have to study that all because someone did it for us. Praise the Lord. Amen? Does that make sense? Yeah. Praise God. There is, and I wrote this down because it's really interesting, and we have to know this. There is power in the words written in these pages in the Bible, but the power is not in the words themselves. Amen? Power is not in the words themselves. The power is in the understanding of their intent. It's in the understanding of their intent. Praise the Lord. The power is not in the words themselves. It's in the understanding of their intent. If we can just, how do I know that? Because these words are the same words we have everywhere else. Yeah. These words are the same words that we have in. If you have a novel at home, if you have any other kind of book, if you have a newspaper at home, you're going to find the same words written here or written there. There's no more power in those words than there are these. But the intent that was written in these words, that's where the power is. Does that make sense? So that's why we have to understand what is being written. That's why we have to understand what is going on. John 16:33 in the Amplified. Just follow along it's going to expound. You'll see how it expounds. It's really good. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Jesus said this. That you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Jesus said it. Yeah. Jesus said this was going to come. You know what the first thing people do when they start having, what Christians do when they start having trials? Where's God? Jesus said, in the world, you will have. Listen, child, this is going to happen. If I tell you, you're going to drive down the street, and when you get a mile down the road, there's going to be a dog run out in front of you, praise the Lord, and you drive down there, and you get a mile down the road, and a dog shoots out in front of you, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? Amen? Or if I tell you, you go up to the road, and there's going to be a stop sign up here on the road, you're not going to be surprised when you get up there. You know it's going to be there. Someone told you ahead of time, amen? You'll say, well, there's going to be a sharp curve coming up, and then right after that sharp curve, there's a stop sign. I mean, there's one like that coming from, you know, coming through Columbus if you're coming this way, right? You come around a corner, and all of a sudden, you don't want to be going too fast because sometimes there's a cop sitting there, but also because there's a stop sign right there that's waiting to catch you, amen? And so you come around that corner, if you're going too fast, you roll right on through. You don't want to roll right on through, you right? But Jesus is doing the same thing. He's telling us about what's coming up. Why? So we will have confidence in him. So we can have God. Listen, if Jesus told us it's going to happen and then it happens, we can just say, hey, that's a good word, right? It happens. But see, there's more to it. He says, I've told you these things so that in me, where are we going to have the perfect peace? In him. In him. In him you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, hallelujah. This is why I love the Amplified. Yeah. Amen? Because it's telling us what he's telling us, amen? For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. That's why we have to have confidence in God. That's why we trust in God. That's what true trust is. When the trial rises up and it's something that we can't handle, the first thing we want to do is cry. But then when we get our wits about us and we say, wait a minute, what does the word says? The word says that I can have confidence in him. So the trial's here, but it doesn't matter because I have confidence in my Lord who sits on the throne next to God and is ready to womp the devil for me. Amen? Actually, he's already womped the devil for me. I just got to stand in that. Amen? I just got to be confident in that. Amen? And sometimes the devil's going to shout. The Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion. It says as a roaring lion. In other words, he sounds roaring, but it ain't nothing to be scared of. Amen? When the devil roars, yeah, it can be scary. I'm not saying it can't be scary. How's the devil roar? Well, something bad happens in your life. Name it. You put your name on it. Whatever it is. You're going, I'm sure you had something you went through this week. One thing where the devil roared, did you stay confident before God? We need to trust in God because this is what he paid for. God paid for us, our confidence, to be sure. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. It just doesn't get much better than that. Praise the Lord. What if we start having Christian movies about that? What if we start having Christian songs about that? What if Christians just start saying, you know what? My God's bigger. My God's bigger. And believed it. And believed it. Not just said it, but believed it. Because you can confess something and not believe it. But how about let's believe the confession of our mouth? Because that comes if it comes out of the Bible. Now, if you say something stupid, don't believe that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. First, turn with me to 1 John 5. Praise God, hallelujah. God is good. 1 John, you know, when I get in these scriptures, I'm just like, man, we really just need to, you all need to just like know 1 John. You need to know that book, but you know the truth is we just need to know the whole thing. It's all good. 1 John 5, we're going to read 1 through 5, hallelujah. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, you know, it's interesting because it says the Christ. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. This is a curiosity because Christ, as we know or should know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It wasn't Jesus Christ. Probably he had some other last name, but they called him Jesus Christ. Christ means the Savior, the Messiah. It's the one who is coming. Amen? The Savior. We can just say it that way. Jesus. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Savior is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Begot means to like have, like a child, I begot Ezra, I begot Mark, I begot, you know what I mean, that type of thing. So that's what it's saying. Praise God. By this we know that we love, I also begot Caleb, where is he? Did I say that? Praise God. We want to include him too. We don't want these kids going away feeling like I left one out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Hallelujah. We love God by keeping his commandments. Jesus said many times, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, why do you say Lord, Lord, then do not do what I say? Jesus said, don't even call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say. Man, there's so many Christians that need to hear this right now. Praise the Lord, you all came out and you're hearing it real good. But there's a lot of Christians that need to hear this. You just need to do what Jesus said. You need to do what the Bible says. Why? Because Jesus said it, and it's important for us to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you've been living a life where you haven't been doing it, praise the Lord. You're going to start over right now. You're going to start doing what he says. So you ain't got to get mad at me for saying it. You just say, hey, I'm going to get on board. I'm going to love God and do what he says. Why? Because he said to do it. Yeah. And if he said to do it, I got to trust in him. Yeah, right. See, people want to trust in God to see their problems then, but they won't trust in God enough to say that when he says it's important to go to church and to go and to tithe and to do all these other things, hallelujah, yeah, and to pray and to be a blessing to people, yeah, to be a help and to serve and do all these things. Yeah. Well, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I love this scripture. So many people, when you tell them what the Bible says, they will argue. They'll start to argue. A lot of Christians will do this. They'll start to argue. Oh, you talk about tithing, and Christians will start arguing it. Well, God said it. Jesus did it. And it's all through scripture from the beginning all the way to the end. So listen, I have never seen a person who faithfully tithes. I've never seen them go without. I've never seen them destroyed. I've never seen them lack. Ever. In fact, we have faithfully tithed for years now and give on top of it. We actually multiply our tithes many times over. Yeah, many times over. I'm not afraid to say it. Why? Because it's not burdensome for me to do what God commanded. It's a joy for me to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we love the Lord and he loves us. He takes care of us. He watches out for us. Amen. That's why I live a blessed life, because I follow God. It isn't because I'm doing anything special. other than following God. That's pretty special, don't get me wrong. But a lot of people don't do it. Enough people don't have enough sense to just do what God said. He wrote it. So just do it. Praise the Lord. Just do it. Just do it. Nike knew that. They had a whole campaign. Everybody got their shoes and just did it. What do you say, what did they do? I don't know. They were doing it, though. Praise the Lord. They made millions of dollars just doing it. Praise the Lord. Many people spent millions of dollars just doing it. See, doing what? I don't know what they were doing. I never figured it out. I asked that question many times. Like I said, just do it. Just do what? I don't know. Just do it. Just do it. Let's just do the Bible. Let's just do what it says. Don't do you. Doing you won't work. Doing the Bible works. Why? Because I don't have confidence in you. But I got confidence in God. There's been many times I don't have confidence in myself. Praise the Lord. I remember the first time I got up to preach a message. I'm like, I don't know about this, God. I don't know about this because I know me and I know I don't got no confidence in me. But I got confidence in you. That's why I continue doing it. Amen? Because God is good. See, when God says to do something, it always has a benefit to us. I said it always has a benefit. His how do we know? Because he said his commandments aren't burdensome. They won't put more on you. Actually, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. It makes you rich and he adds no sorrow to it. I like that. Have you ever had a lot of money in your pocket? I remember one time I got a tax return. I remember one time, the only time I ever had money was when I get a tax return. Amen. And I remember one year I got a tax return. I wasn't living for God. I went to the bar. You know what I mean? I went to the bar and I had a lot of money in my pocket. You know what I mean? And I was raring to go. I had a lot of money. I was sitting there and I was tipping them back and I was getting all nice and toasty, praise the Lord. And as I was sitting there doing that, all of a sudden I got this really great idea. I'm gonna share my wealth. Hallelujah. I said, set everybody up with one. And everybody was my best friend, amen? But you know, the next morning wasn't so good. Yeah. The next day, I felt like an idiot, especially as I looked at all that money I spent the night before, and I didn't know any of those people, never saw them again, didn't do a lick of good of anything. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. See, there was sorrow added to that wealth. But see, when the Lord makes you rich, when the Lord takes care of you, when you do what he says, he leads you down a path of blessing. See, that's what people miss, is that God's leading us to a place of blessing. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Yeah. A future and a hope. Yeah. Not just a future, but a future with a hope, amen? Yeah. A future is a good future. When God says there's a future for you, it means a good future. Yeah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're excited about this because Jesus, hallelujah, man, did he pay for us to get this stuff. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah. What's in this world? Oh, isn't there pain and tragedy in this world? Yeah. Isn't there a lot? I hear people talking all the time out there in the world. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't ever be sure of anything, can you? Mm-hmm. They'll tell you that. You just ask anybody in the world. You go to Walmart and start taking a poll. I'm going to tell you. They're going to tell you all the bad stuff that's happening. Oh, we don't know what to do with this president, that president. We don't know what we're going to do here. We have all these gangs, all these terrorists, all these stuff. We can't be. And now people are sending bombs to doors, shooting people in schools and churches and all over the place. Not in this church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we return fire with fire. Glory to God. This is just a little for you. Praise the Lord. God takes care of us. Amen. God takes care of his people. Praise the Lord. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. God wants us to be, God wants us to be well taken care of. He wants us to have things, amen. God wants us to be blessed in our going. He doesn't want our focus to be those things, but he wants us to have confidence in him that he will take care of those things so we can get on to the real stuff that he wants us to do. Why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can talk about churches talking about money, but I'm going to tell you what. I sat at a break table. Every single day, a couple times a day when I worked in a factory, and I'm going to tell you what, people talked there every single day about what they didn't have. They talked about what they couldn't afford. They talked about how they didn't know how they were going to do this, how they were going to do that. People working full time, they talk about it all the time. So listen, it isn't just here, praise the Lord. You have whole companies. We have no offense to my wife, praise the Lord. She likes the dollar stores, you know what I mean? I hate the dollar stores. You know why? Because they're a bunch of junk. It's a bunch of junk for a dollar, amen? You can go buy a bunch of garbage for a dollar, praise the Lord. I just, that's the way, and people, that's, you know, my wife doesn't go, my wife, you know, praise the Lord. She doesn't go there because she has a poverty mindset. But, you know, people do. There's whole businesses that are built around people's poverty in their head. Why? Because they don't think God would take care of them. God will take care of you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to buy something nice. I'm going to tell you that right now. Husbands, sometimes you got to buy something nice for your wife. Even when you don't know that you can, praise the Lord. You got to make a way to have it. Why? Because the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So I put my treasure in my wife. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, we need to look for opportunities to be a blessing to people. Amen. I'd say this all the time. I hate it when Christians go to restaurants. They'll even sit there and pray, and then they'll tip lousy. Yeah. You don't know who your God is. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How do I know? Because your God never tipped you lousy. Right. Wow. Yeah, when he gave us Jesus, he wasn't tipping lousy. Yeah. What was he doing? He was giving everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't care if they're nasty or not. I don't care if the waitress was mean or not. I don't care. Why? Because the Bible never tells us to act the way other people act. It said act the way Jesus act. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do? He said he gave everything. God so loved the world that he gave. Hallelujah. So what should Christians do? They should so love the world that they give. Amen. You get a lot more people in church, praise the Lord, with honey than you are with your Christian vinegar. You sour face. Oh, you know, when people walk around with Bible tracts saying how much God wants to put them in hell, or how much God is going to put them in hell if they'll turn and burn and all that stuff. It's the love of God that brings people to repentance. And I don't get off. I mean, we talk about hell too, because hell is important to understand. Amen. But you're not going to catch people on the street walking up to them, telling them about how God destroyed all the earth and stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got to get through this message. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Remember, faith is trusting God. That's the victory that overcomes. You got it there. Our faith is what overcomes the world. So the amount that we trust in God is the amount that we will overcome. Or the amount that we don't trust in God is the amount we won't overcome. If you want to overcome this life, if you want to overcome the trials, if you want to overcome all the obstacles, you're going to have to trust in God, because there ain't any other way. Trusting in God is the only way. It's the only way I found. People come to me all the time and they want help on something. I say, I got one way for you. That way is Jesus. I'll point you to Jesus. I'll tell you what he said, and you have to go from there. You have to decide to do something. Christians have lost this concept, but Jesus taught this very, very clearly. The disciples, Paul, the apostles, they taught this very clearly, that if our works or our faith is not backed up with action, our faith is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. That means you have to practice what you preach. You have to do what the word says. You have to put your faith in God and leave it there. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 2:19. Praise the Lord. Just look at it up here. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. It does not matter that you believe in God. It matters that you believe in who God is. You can believe God exists, but the Bible tells us that demons believe. It doesn't do them any good. Satan knows full well that God exists. Yeah, he knows his power. He knows what he can do. Satan knows it better than most Christians know it. And yet it doesn't do him any good. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Just believing God, or just believing in God, does not matter. Believing that God is who he says he is does matter. Trust also in me. Believe also in me, Jesus said. Praise God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We read that scripture in James before to understand this. When it says that they must believe he is, it's not just saying that you believe that God exists, but you believe in who God is. Amen? How do we know that? Exodus 3:14 says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The word I am means to become. God was saying, I am the one who becomes whatever you need to deliver. I'm the one who becomes that. Amen. That's what faith in God is. That's placing confidence in God. I am the one who you need a healer. I am the one who is a healer. Actually, God called himself the healer in the Old Testament. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know we have a better covenant based on better promises. So we have everything. Praise the Lord. They had more. Amen. To become. God was sending Moses to be Israel's deliverer at that time. He was going to bring Israel out of the nation of Israel, out of captivity of the Egyptians. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Don't we have a deliverer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Our deliverer is better than Moses.
Yeah.
Moses was going to take them to the promised land, but our deliverer sits on the throne.
Yeah.
I said our deliverer sits on the throne. Hallelujah. He has direction. He's in the throne room. Moses wasn't in the throne room. He was a good man, but he wasn't in the throne room. Jesus is our deliverer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many times God is referred to in Scripture as the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you ever heard that? Praise the Lord. This is in reference to who he was to them and what he did for them. Yes. They were fathers of faith. That's why that reference is made, because they obtained from God by using their faith. If we are going to obtain from God, it must be and only be by using our faith. How do you get salvation? By using faith for salvation. You cannot obtain salvation any other way other than saying, Jesus, I believe that you're Lord, that you died for me, and God raised you again, hallelujah, so I could be saved. That is the only way to be saved and be sure of it, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is God's character, and this is who he is for us. Praise God. When you didn't know God, who was he to you? Who was he? You didn't know him. He was nobody, right? Praise the Lord. Who is God to you now? Christians, we need to ask ourselves, who is my God? Is he just this guy in these pages that we read once in a while and maybe hear about in church? This Santa Claus type God that we may see or may not see, but probably don't see. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what a lot of people think of God. Praise the Lord. I need to get moving because I need to get through this. Romans 8:31. You know, see, I was just going to go to a few scriptures in Romans, but I had to go in the section, but I had to go all the way back to verse 31, and we're getting fixing to close here. Praise God, hallelujah. Romans 8 is an absolute amazing chapter of Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do we forget that? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, also freely give us all things? Well, I don't like that, church. They talk about believing God for stuff. What does Romans 8:32 says? It says he gave us Jesus. What is he going to hold back from us? The question is rhetorical. He says he's going to do it. He's telling us that it's for us. He's saying that he will give us all things. Amen? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Paul wrote this, by the way. Yeah. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Praise God. He's up there praying for you right now. He's saying, he's like, yeah, God, let me, my blood covers them. I come on behalf of Jeff. I come on behalf of Mark. I come on behalf of Renee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God listens to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. I gotta figure, where was I? 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even in the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Let me ask you what your love does for your children. When you have love for somebody, does it just stay idle and don't do anything? Or does your love make you do stuff? Yes. What makes a mother get up in the middle of the night and take care of a baby? It's called the love.
Yes.
Amen. It's called love. That's what it is. What makes a father or a mother go to work and work all these long hours and hard hours so their kids can have something nice? Isn't it love? See, love does something. People have, for some reason, they have this idea that God is a God of love, and yet he doesn't do anything for us. God is always doing something for us. In fact, he gave us everything up front to say, here's my down payment, to show you that there's nothing I won't give you. There's nothing I won't do for you. There's no place I won't take you beyond. There's no trouble I won't get you through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is our God, people. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there's nothing that will come against us. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, I love how it starts off, and this is really what we need to see. For I am persuaded. I'm going to stop right there. We don't even need to go any further. I am persuaded, Paul said. There's nothing that's going to change my mind. I'm persuaded. When you're persuaded on something, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, amen? The love of God, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. God loves us so much, so much. Flip over to Ephesians. This is the last place we're going to go. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1, just a few verses here. These are really good. These are going to bless you, so just hang on with me. Praise the Lord. I know we're getting at that time. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. This is what Paul prayed. Remember that guy Paul? The guy that didn't know if God would come through for him? That one that didn't know if Jesus would help him? Yeah, you know that guy Paul, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. He wants you to know something. Jesus wanted you to know something. God wants you to know something. How do we know? Because God inspired Paul to write this to the Ephesians. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That you may know. That you may know. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That word hope means expectation of good. That's what the word means. Expectation of good. You would know that there's an expectation of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Amen. Praise the Lord. Toward us who believe, who trust in him, right? Who are persuaded of, amen? Who have confidence in, not those who don't. I'm going to tell you right now, God's power does not work in Christians who do not believe in his power, who do not believe in his goodness, who do not believe that he'll come through. God's power does not work in them. How do we know? The Bible tells us so. Yeah. Amen? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? This is the same power that works in us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power that works in Christians, or should work. What determines whether it works? Whether or not you believe it. Whether or not you trust him. Believe in God, believe also in me. In these set of scriptures, what I was saying, we're ending in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Praise God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why Jesus died for us. So that we could be seated with him in heavenly places. That is a present tense scripture. That is not talking about when you die and go to heaven. And if you read all those scriptures in and around that, all those first few chapters in Ephesians talk all about what God wants to do in us. Hallelujah. What he wants to do in the church. Yeah, I want to ask you something. Does most of the church look like this? No. Why? Because they don't trust in God. They don't place their confidence in God. They don't say, He is my deliverer, He is coming through, and there's nothing that anybody is going to do to change my mind. I'm going to tell you what. I will go to my grave saying that God is healer. I will go to my grave to saying God is deliverer. I will go, because this is what I do know, that if something doesn't happen here on earth, it is not because God didn't want it to happen. It is because people didn't work it. Amen. They had the power of God because of the type of church that they were. I'm talking about the early church. And they saw persecutions. Praise God. Hallelujah. They had this thing called Roman candles. And I'm not going to get too much into detail what it was. But we'll just say it has to do with people in fire. Hallelujah. And lighting up the streets. Hallelujah. That's exactly what these Christians, they paid for it with their lives. And there's a lot of Christians today that, oh man, they'd be turned away from church just for a barbecue. They'd be turned away from church at any old whim because all the game's on, so I can't make it tonight. I'm sorry. I can't make it today. I can't get there. You can't get your help either. We can't, if we don't live in the Bible, if we don't live in the Word, if we don't live after God, we are not going to have the fullness of what He has for us. Praise the Lord. So let's do that because Jesus paid for it. We don't want to stand before Jesus and say, you know, it just wasn't worth enough to me. No, it was worth something to me. Hallelujah. That's why I serve God. That's why I'm after Him like a dog on a hunt. And that's why we bring the message. Hallelujah. Praise God.